Nice to see you, to see you.
Nice.
If you'd been round Argaff that balmy weekend, you'd have heard me ask Lisa yourself. We were squatting on Hume Crescents then. We'd been journeying down what you might call one of life's our pathways for ages. 5 minutes away from us was the Hacienda nightclub, or the Hass, as it got called. Them days, the Manchester acid house scene in there was full on. Some months before, I'd been released from prison. While I was away, they cut our electricity off. So I booted in the door of a vacant flat on the fourth floor. Problem solved. I bought loads of speed because I wanted to mark the occasion of just being freed. Speed always brought them hidden talents out of me, like my super creative handyman skills. No job was too big or small. You get me? Lisa, I'm going to make our new place ace. So the vibes, like down the ass. The council had boarded up the windows, but I left it like that to block out the light. I painted two massive industrial lines on the boards outside at the front, same as those that were across the beams on the Assis dance floor. I put them across all the doors inside too. I pinned a big smiley face up on the living room wall. I got some wood out of a skip. I made a shelf out of it to put my second-hand hi-fi separates on. And before long, the mandyman skills of mine had kicked right in like proper peaking. Because by then, there's nothing I couldn't make with a hammer, a saw, and a high-speed Black-and-Decker drill. So do you know what I did? I got busy building a set of beefy-sounding speakers. I got the bass units, flare dons, and bullet tweeters from Maplin. Well, to be honest with you, a shoplifter did. I got the materials for the speaker boxes out of kitchens in empty flats. I hammered out 12 countertops. You should have seen them when they were done. They were 5 foot tall and nearly as deep, because the more depth you have, the more bass you get. So you get to feel that gale force swing type bass in your face. I got so much into house music that bit by bit, I bagged some home studio recording kit and started making it myself. It sounded well ropey. It came to the point where I'd been celebrating getting out of prison for 274 days and nights. I've never done things by halves. Then that balmy weekend landed. There was a buzz down the ass, and we was in our gaff. You can guess I was caught up in the music, so my head was bobbing away, locked into a groove that I'd made on my 808 drum machine. To be fair, I'd been locked into that same groove for a fortnight. Should have seen me look like a pulsating mad scientist with a bucket hat on. Next minute, who do you think you are there, you faffing around with that blankety blank blank music? Did you hear that then, Lise? Hey, what? That woman shouting, it came from outside. Didn't hear anyone shouting, Baz. Your head must be going. She was right. Because in no time flat, I was hearing loads of shouts coming from everywhere. In fact, after a bit, my head went that much. I finished up on a psychiatric ward. And there wasn't anything they could do. Because my head was too far gone. Talk about our pathways, man. Mine couldn't have become more brutal. How about yours? Don't think for a minute it's always been dead cushy, has it? Because I'm sure that along the way there's been stages when we've all found ourselves journeying down one of life's hard pathways. Ain't that the truth? Did you know that there's a man in the Bible who made music too? Well, there was. He was a real maestro though, not like me. He put this lyric to a tune. This is something he figured out way back when. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance, which refers to them getting food in places where they didn't expect it. What can we figure out from our hard pathways for now then? How about we go take a gander to get going? Hard pathways don't have to set your limits. Raise your hand if you drive a car. Have you ever done more than 30 in a 30 zone? Or more than 40 in a 40 zone? Or even more than 70 in a 70 zone? You rebel. Have you ever been flashed by a speed camera and had points put on your license? Have you ever totted up that many points that you got banned? If you have, join the club. The club that I'm a gold member of. Because it happened to me not once, not twice, but three times. Raise your hand if you don't feel as guilty now. Once before I got banned, I used what you might call a workaround that we did when it was paper licenses. Do you remember them? Before I went to court, I reported that I'd lost my license and ordered a duplicate. So when they took mine off me, I had another one to use. That's one way to dodge your ban. If you were good at playing innocent, this was perfect for those times when you got pulled over and they asked to see your license. Unless they radioed in, that is, then you'd have to do a different workaround. Like bum off around the copper's car in front of you. Nowadays, I use a legit workaround to dodge your ban. I press the speed limiter button in my car. Have you ever heard of them? I hadn't until I got my most recent car. Of course, you can drive with it off, but because I do like loads and loads of miles, I often have mine turned on, especially when I'm doing my big trips. The way that it works is that there's a sensor in the middle of the windscreen at the top that picks up the speed limits from the signs on the side of the road, which sends a signal to the engine to control it. So say I drive through a 30, a 40, or a 70 zone of the lights, I can't go above them since the limiter in my car has been set at those limits to keep me back. It's just like us this, you know. Because sometimes those tough times we go through can set those limits on us that keep us back. Maybe this has happened to you. Listen, hard pathways don't have to set your limits. A bloke in the book of books, Paul, he'd had a tough time or two. But with God pitching in, he was able to say, I've forgotten what is behind me and I press hard to what is ahead of me. This was Tina, my wife's take on it too. Tina's slim, loyal, and from South London. Her beginnings were pretty hard, but this didn't set limits on her. She got a degree. She became a manager. And to top them off, she got to marry me. So she's defo not been kept back then. What about you? Maybe you got off to a bad start. It could be that you've been hurt dead deep by somebody you trusted. Maybe you found yourself in a dark place and this has set limits on you. Look, whatever has done that to you, just know that God can do what's needed to take those limits off you. This is what you might call his kind of workaround. And unlike mine, his kind is always 100% legit. Listen, hard pathways don't have to set your limits. That balmy weekend had landed. There was a buzz down the ass. And we was in our gaff. Did you hear that then, Lise? Our pathways don't have to set your limits. And to add to that, our pathways can be the making of you. You had to be near those stacked chairs in the corner of that chapel to catch what Chappie said to me. It was August 23. And as per during that month, I was down south doing a bunch of gels. One of them is a well-known Victorian-type prison in central London that I've been speaking in for a while. This time round, though, they planned for me to do two groups. One was the regular prisoners, and the other was the lads from the recovery wing, which was a first for me in there. The first session was dead informal. We just sat round chairs that had been set up in like an horseshoe shape, so we were facing each other. I just did a short talk about some of the mad days I've been through as a way of setting things up for a conversation to go deeper. When we got chatting, it turned out that some of them got right into it, if you know what I'm saying. I think that's why they come. One of them had graying locks, green eyes and silvering glasses on. He did most of talking. Then there was a stocky Polish guy on a Scarnish face. He chipped in quite a bit as well. And then there was a young black lad who was a proper thinker. He came out with some right pearlers. There were some others who jumped in too. You should have heard the chatter that day. There was more wisdom flying around than there is at Oxford University. Them debating bods there with their criminology PhDs. Nothing on these. Trust me. But there was one serious-faced, mixed-race older boy sat there who stayed silent. This was Chappie, the chapel orderly. When we finished, everybody went back to the wings, apart from him. He went and started unstacking chairs to get set up for when the next lot came in, because they were expecting a bigger group. So I went over to help. How you doing, mate? Doing all right. Gutted to be back in here, though, Baz. I'm in for a smash and grab this time on a jeweller's in the East End. Why, what happened, man? Well, when I got out last time, I stayed on the straight and narrow, but then my mum got ill, and she'd always been there for me, so I owed her. So I nicked a car and went on a spree, and they got me, man, didn't they? Then he goes, you know, before when you lot was batting stuff about, I just stayed stum. I always do. But what I wanted to say was, if you'd not been through all that madness, you couldn't do what you're doing now, because it's like all that has shaped you, man. And it... Do you know, I doubt if he could have said anything more true. Listen, listen, listen. Hard pathways can be the making of you. That bloke, he would have had a tough time or two. He wrote this when he was in a jail in Rome. Trouble produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. For me, once God pitched in, this became massive. What about you? Maybe you're going through something right now. It could be that you've been through a few rough patches back when. Maybe there's been some shaping going on for something you could do, like there was me. Who knows? Listen, hard pathways can be the making of you. That balmy weekend had landed. There was a buzz down the ass, and we was in our gaff. Did you hear that then, Lise? Hard pathways that have to set your limits. They can be the making of you, and hard pathways can get changed up. Let me take you to the time one morning when I was sat with Ali McPhee. Because that's when he told me about the journey he'd been on and how he's seen this happen firsthand. This is how he put it. I was born on the south side of Glasgow, Baz. As a kid, even though I knew I was loved, there was always chaos in the background because my dad was a bit of a gangster. He kept guns and knives in the house, and there was always lots of drinking going on. When I was 5, my mum and dad got divorced. So I went to live with my gran and granddad, who lived next door, in the flats on the top floor. I really struggled at school, and I was constantly getting into trouble. The teachers would tell me, you're never going to change. You're a waste of space. You're never going to amount to anything. I hated it, Baz. So I used to bunk off and go to the arcades in town. It was in my last year of secondary school when I got into football, and it was absolute bedlam, drinking, fighting, looting shops and stuff. The first time I smoked hash was in my mate's house. That night we got into a fight outside the mini market, and I got stabbed twice in the leg and lost 2 pints of blood. I was 17 when the rave scene started, Baz. I had my first E in Furry Murray's nightclub. I loved it. I ended up selling them. I sold E's and weed. I did a bit of fraud too. I even got a jail sentence for petrol bombing an house. Heroin was something else I started taking, and then I got into crack. That brought me to my knees quicker than Brown did, though. It's like, for me, I've gone down this pathway, and things just kept getting more and more chaotic. Then, I was in my mate's flat once, Baz, and there was a Bible on the table, and I picked it up and opened it, and some of the words jumped out and hit me, man. It's as though God was saying, these were written for you, Ali. That same week, I met this Christian guy, and he prayed for me, and I felt this peace. It's as if I knew that everything was going to be all right. Then Ali says to me, and after that, it's like the life I was living got changed up. I came off heroin and crack without any withdrawals. I went back into education and got a professional accountancy qualification. My parents had recently passed away. And then I read in the Bible that God can restore things for us. And I really struggled with that, Baz, to be honest. I thought, how is he going to restore that? But then I met Claire. And I realised that this was God restoring my family circle. Because when we got married, her mum and dad became my mum and dad. They're like the parents I've always wanted. And I've got friends now that kind of used to wish for, but before I could never have because of the life that I was living. People trust me these days as well, Baz. And I've got a load of responsibilities. Then he reeled them off to me. He's an accountant for an housing association. He's on different management committees. He's the trustee for a charity. He's even got his own accountancy business as a side hustle. And more recently, he started speaking in jails and stuff. And then he went, I never imagined that I could achieve what I've achieved. Do you see what's doable with God pitching in? Listen, our pathways can get changed up. Someone in the Bible who'd been a fighter but was now getting on in years said this to God when he was up against it. Though you've allowed me to see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life. What about the pathway you've gone down? Have you ever been told, you're never going to change, you're a waste of space, you're never going to amount to anything? Have you got things in your life that need to be restored? Maybe you've never imagined what you could achieve. Listen, our pathways can get changed up. That balmy weekend had landed, there was a buzz down the ass and we was in our gaff. Did you hear that then, Lise? Our pathways have to set your limits. They can be the making of you. They can get changed up. And alongside these, our pathways are where you can begin again. Just imagine for a minute, you're lying on a single bed in a 6x4 room in a hostel. You've got a portable telly on the table next to you, and you're that brassy, you can only afford two channels, on and off. And you're in there because you had to leave your own town rapid since it's been deemed too unsafe to stay. For you anyway, because there's a local crew after you. Not the best spot to find yourself in, is it? Well, I was in it. If you want to read more about that part of my life, it just so happens that there's some of my books there on that table. When my book came out, Once an Addict, in 2007, as a charity, we set up a project to give a copy to every prisoner in the UK. Right now, there's 94,000 prisoners behind bars, and we have sent 55,000 copies of that book out into prisons free of charge. And there's one way you can support that. If you buy one copy today, we will use the profit to send two into prisons for free. Buy one, send two. You're buying three, but we're giving two and you'll be out. There's also some other DVDs that you can also download from our FITS conference in 23, some talks that I've done. Again, all the proceeds that come in through that little table, the money on that table goes into the charity and it's earmarked. It's just a drop in the ocean. It costs us about 26 grand to do our prison ministry every year. That's just one little financial stream that helps us keep doing what we're doing. So you want to buy something, that's going to support the work that we do in jails. Tomorrow I head off on the road for a week to the northeast, and then I come back for 5 days and I head to Scotland for 2 weeks doing a bunch of jails during their prisons week and also events like this. So we have to fund that one way or another. You know how it works, many of you. On the day I had to do that quick getaway, I went into Victoria, into a phone box in Victoria Station in Manchester and picked up a yellow phone directory. Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
A side note for you young'uns, this is where we used to get our contact numbers from before we had Yahoo, Bing or Google. H, hostels. S, Salvation Army. Rochdale. That'll do. 01706. Beep, 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 beep. I stayed in hostels before, so I knew the score. And this one proved to be decent. Everyone in there was all right, apart from Minging Feet Mike. It was a young kid with yellow teeth who was dead cocky, and he absolutely reached. You could smell him from miles away. His room was just across from mine. One afternoon, I was lying on my bed just chilling then. Ice, ice, baby. Ding, 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 ding. Ice, ice, baby. Ding, 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 ding. And it was really loud. It was coming from Minging Feet Mike's. Knock, knock. He opened his door. Mate, we just turn your music down a bit. Nice one. And then, ice, ice, baby. Ding, 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 ding. Even louder. So I jumped up. Bang, bang, bang. Turn your blankety blank, blank, blank. Music down. Go back into mine. Try and stay calm. Seconds later. Vanilla ice, ice, baby. Oh, if you don't know what vanilla ice is, it's a rubbish white wrapper. Who's so bad, he'd tip even Mother Teresa over the edge. Right, that's it. I'll give him some vanilla ice. Bang, bang, bang. He opened his door just a bit and poked his head round. So I barged in, battered him and grabbed hold of his ghetto blaster. If you won't turn it down, smash, smash, smash. I will. Smash, smash, smash. That's what I think of your vanilla. Smash, smash, ice, baby. Once I was sure I'd muted his music to get rid of that rancid rapping, like smash to smithereens, sure, if you get what I'm saying, I went and flopped back down on my bed. Oh, that's better. If I just had my decks with me now, I could play some proper tunes. Waka wong, chocka chong. 5 minutes later, my door goes. It was Colin, my project worker. Should have heard him. I'm gonna have to ask you to leave now. Why? Because you've just beat the living daylights out of Mike, that's why. He's in a right state downstairs. He'd only gone down and grassed me up, hadn't he? I felt like sniffing him out to find him. So I'll give him more aggro. But I just decided to go. You know, the funny thing is, even though Colin showed me the door, I didn't mind him. Because he was straight talking, big hearted. And he was always there for us. Actually, these days, he's a hostel manager. And he invites me to speak in it. Every year. I was in a few months ago. Before I spoke, he said to everybody, it's always good to have Barry back, because we go way back to when he was a resident in another hostel that I worked in. In fact, I had to kick him out. And then he goes, he did rock bottom, but then he started over, and I can vouch for him. Listen, our pathways are where you can begin again. The first truth that I learned out of the Bible, which was also when God took all that shouting away, by the way, was this. Right at that beginning, just as my journey started, I'm a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Let me show you just in a snippet how this came into play. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God who flung the stars into space, God who spoke the universe into being, he put skin on, he became a man, he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. And at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, so he journeyed down his own hard pathway. So he knows. But he ended up hanging there. Just imagine how tough that was. That was for you though, because he died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, for your flaws, and for your failures. He stood in so that you can begin again. But before that can take place, it falls on you. Falls on you to give the okay. When you drive lots of miles like I do, I found that taking little breaks does you good. From time to time, when I'm home, I'll use taxis and trams to change my rhythm, which helps me chill a bit. And it reduces the risk of getting flashed by a speed camera, so I don't get band number 4. Not long ago, me and Tina went to a restaurant for an early tea. That means dinner if you're posh. We got a taxi there, had some food and got a taxi back. We got out and rushed to the front door because it was raining. I've not got my keys. T, you must have them, Barry. Check all your pockets. They're not there. She wasn't happy. It was our anniversary as well. So you can imagine. That didn't help. Rang the restaurant, no keys. Rang the taxi firm, no keys. So then I rang the local housebreaker. Not the criminal kind, the legal kind. Them that had DBS checked and who pay taxes. While I was chatting, Tina gets on her phone. Are you sure the drivers have found no keys? Can you ask them to check again, please? After waiting in the wet for what seemed like a week, the local legal housebreaker turns up with his drill. He's at the door. We're behind him, absolutely drenched by now. He's just about to start drilling. And Tina's phone goes, hello? Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah, can you do? Stop. They found the keys. The driver's bringing them round. You should have seen us when he pulled up outside our house to hand us those keys. Talk about relieved. When we got in, we looked like two drowned rats with puffer jackets on. Happy anniversary, Tina. I'll leave it to you to think about her reply. Look, God won't call the local little housebreaker out to drill the lock on your door, because he'd rather hold on for you. There's a picture of him in the good book being at your door. See, he just hangs around there dead patient-like. He does until the day we give the okay and say, okay, here's my key. Now he can gain entry. Listen, our pathways are where you can begin again, but it falls on you to give the okay. So I'm going to round this off now at the place where we set out. That squat on the boring's our new place that I'd made ace. It was a Friday. I was caught up in the music. So my head was bobbing away, locked into a groove that I've been locked into for days and days. Next minute, who do you think you are? There, you. Talk about our pathways. Man, mine had got brutal. And I'm sure that along the way there's been stages when we've all found ourselves journeying down one of these. So I've just taken a gander at them to figure out some thoughts for now. Please stand. No going outside for a smoke just yet. If you're able to stand, if you're not, that's fine. But if you're able to stand, please stand. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Right now, God is at your door. He wants to pitch in. But you need to give the okay and say, here's my key. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite two groups of people in this room to pray this prayer with me. The first group, those people in this room, you have never prayed a prayer to give God your key, your keys, so he can gain entry into your life. It could be that you've been thinking about God, but you've never given him your keys. It could be that you're struggling with God being that higher power on your journey. Listen, give God the keys and see what happens. Give him access. It could be that you've been attending this church or another church, but you've never been told that you need to give God your keys so that he can gain access into your life. Could be that you've been coming to this church with your spouse, with your partner, to please them. And I want to say that's great, but that's not it. You might need to do, well, you do need to do something for yourself. You need to give God your keys so that he can gain entry. So that's the first group, those people you've never prayed a prayer to give God keys, your keys, so we can gain entry into your life. The second group of people, those people, you may have prayed a prayer in the past, you started a faith journey. But right now, it's a bit rocky. Things ain't that good, and you're not really living that life that you're supposed to be living. Listen, pray this prayer, get back on track. Give God those keys again. And everybody else, you make up the third group. You're going to pray it to encourage the first group and the second group. So, before I pray, I'm going to say this. Park your pride outside. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your jacket. Put it in your bag. Do something with it. Get out of the way. Don't let your pride stop you praying this prayer where you can give God your keys so we can gain entry. Okay? All three groups, repeat after me. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for my faults, for my flaws, and for my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean, because right now, I'm opening my door. I'm giving you my keys so that you can gain entry. And God, I thank you for standing in for me so that I can begin again. I want you to pitch in. Take off any limitations and help me change things up.